The Dog Baptist Church meets at the Baptist Center on RD Terrace. On Sunday morning, we get together at 11 a.m. for our main worship service.
On Sunday evening, we meet at 6 p.m. for Bible study.
We'd love to see you there. Well, at this point in the show, we usually bring greetings to those who are listening in online. We have people listening in North America. We have Phil, who's listening to us in Washington State. And we have folk listening to us in California, in Florida. Daniel and Anna are listening to us in Florida, in Maine, in Michigan, in Mississippi. Perhaps Daniel and Chastity might be tuning in Mississippi. And then we have folk listening to us in Mexico and in Brazil. We have others listening to us in North Africa, in New Zealand, Australia, in China, in the Russian Federation, in the Ukraine, in Romania, in Hungary, in France and Germany and the Netherlands, in Denmark, and in the United Kingdom. We have Matthew, who's listening to us in Inverness in Scotland. We have Martin and Roisin and Evie, who are listening to us in the West Midlands. Imperator and Paulina are listening to us in the West Midlands as well. And then there are folk listening to us in other parts of England. There are folk listening to us in Northern Ireland, in Lisburn and Templepatrick, in the Greater Belfast area, in Enniskillen, and then in Galway, in Limerick, in Cork, in Laois, in Wicklow, and in Balbriggan. Francesca's listening to us in Balbriggan. And then there are folk listening to us on 97.7 around the town on Dundalk FM. So as you're tuning in this evening, we do want to bring you greetings, but we also want to wish you and yours a very happy Christmas and a prosperous new year from all at, on the Heart of the Matter team. Because we are going to have three recorded shows over the next few days. Next Monday, of course, being Christmas Eve, the studio is closed, so we will be airing our carol service, which was recorded at the church building yesterday evening, and Michael preached on a very interesting take on the Christmas message, so you'll enjoy that. As well as that, we are airing it on Christmas Day as well. I believe it's around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So, just as you're sitting down and having digesting and beginning to digest your Christmas feast, you can tune into Dundalk FM and you can listen to the carol service then with some seasonal music and, as I say, Michael preaching. And then on New Year's Eve, which is the 31st of December, again, the way the Christmas season is falling this year, we are closed for the two Mondays, so we will be running the repeat of the carol service from 2017 where Stephen preached, so you'll enjoy that as well. So we do hope that you tune into those different shows over the next few days. So as we continue to look at the comparison between Elijah and John the Baptist, and I finished off before the break discussing the comparison between other Old Testament heroes like Samson and Samuel, the important thing to understand with both Samson and Samuel and Elijah and John the Baptist and all these men who were greatly used of God is that they were not powerful in and of themselves. They had been blessed by God and used by God because they were dedicated to following the Lord in all that they did. And it was the very fact that they were dedicated to God that made the difference. And so as we see Elijah and we understand his ministry, one of the things that stands out in his ministry is that he confronted kings. He spoke to kings and he rebuked the kings for their bad behavior and their following after idols and things like that. And we have recorded in the Old Testament in 1 Kings and 2 Kings his confrontations with two of the most wicked kings in Israel. The first person he confronts is Ahab, and he is very strongly convicts Ahab. He tells Ahab says to him in 1 Kings chapter 18, and he says, then it happened when Ahab saw, in verse 17 of chapter 18 of 1 Kings, then it happened when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said to him, "Is that you, O troubler of Israel?" And Elijah doesn't mince his words, and he says, And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have been that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. Now therefore, send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. So, as I say, Elijah didn't mince his words when he spoke to Ahab. Even though he was addressing the king, he tells him like it is. It's not him that has troubled Israel. There has been a drought because of the fact that God told Elijah to pray. He prays and the heavens have been shut up. There have been no rain. Has been no rain, and therefore the land is dying, and Ahab is seeking to find water for his horses to keep them alive. And he then meets Elijah on the road after he has spoken to Obadiah. And there, that's the confrontation we see. And then we see the confrontation between Elijah and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And we'll have a look at that later on. But there is another king that Elijah confronts, and that is the king Ahaziah. He's actually the son of Ahab. And after the death of Ahab, Moab rebelled against Israel. And Ahaziah fell through the lattice of his upper room in Samaria and was injured. So he sent messengers and said to them, go and inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover from this injury. So he is sending messengers to a foreign deity. Baal-zebub means the Lord of the Flies, to inquire of this foreign deity, this idol, as to whether he is going to live or not. And this, of course, is complete idolatry. And the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say to them, is it because there is no God in Israel that you are going to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Now listen to the irony in this statement, the way the rebuke is delivered to the messengers and therefore to Ahaziah. Elijah is told to ask, is it that there is no, because there is no God in Israel? Of course there is a God in Israel. Of course God is still God. He is in control of all things. He is sovereign over everything. And therefore, this is a rhetorical question. And we can see the attitude of Ahaziah in his confrontation with Elijah. And when the messengers returned to him, to Ahaziah, he said to them, why have you come back? And so they said to him, a man came up to meet us and said to us, go return to the king who sent you and say to him, thus says the Lord, is it because there is no God in Israel that you are sending to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die. And that's when we saw earlier the question that had been asked of the men from Ahaziah as to what the description of the dress of Elijah. And then we see a confrontation between, and the power of the Lord is shown in the judgment on the captains of the king, as they were obviously going to do harm to Elijah. Eventually Elijah, it goes with one of the captains in verse 15, the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, go down with him, do not be afraid of him. So he arose and went down with him to the king. And then he said to him, thus says the Lord, because you have sent messengers to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, is it because there is no God in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die. And then this prophecy comes true. So Ahaziah died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken, because he had no son. Jehoram became king in his place. In the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So the prophecy came true. The fact that Elijah confronts both of these kings and his word comes true in both of them. And then we see John the Baptist did the very same thing. He confronted Herod. This is the brother of, I think it's Herod Antipas. In Matthew chapter 3 we read. Matthew 14 we read regarding the confrontation between John the Baptist and Herod, in verse 3 of chapter 14. For Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had said to him, it is not lawful for you to have her. And although Herod wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. So even the multitude could recognize that John the Baptist was a prophet. And so John the Baptist has no qualms and doesn't mince his words when he's speaking to Herod. He says, it's not lawful for you to have to commit adultery with the wife of your brother. And Herodias, then we see what happens later and how Herodias plots and eventually succeeds in having John the Baptist executed because of what he said.
You know, even in that, there's the similarity between these two evil women, who one wanting to get Elijah and then the other here John the Baptist. I mean, he's tell him you want the head of John the Baptist. And then you've got Jezebel, who sends a messenger to Elijah saying, you know, I'm trying to get you too. I'm trying to get you as well.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Even in both those, you have this woman who is trying to, you know, get rid of the prophet of God.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? That, and so there are so many parallels between both of these men. But we are going to go to our third song. And this is one which is a wonderful carol, Joy to the World.
Breathe.
hope we have this right. I think it's Paul Baloch. Is that what we said, Michael?
I think that's how you pronounce it, but I'm not entirely sure.
An interesting modern take on Joy to the World, I must say. So as we conclude this evening, what I want to look at is the fact that John the Baptist's ministry as prophesied by the angel and in the Old Testament was completely fulfilled. We see in Luke chapter 1, we saw in Luke chapter 1 that he would go in the spirit of Elijah and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the people to the children. And so that's so important for us to see. But there are other prophecies in the Old Testament that have that speak of John the Baptist. And he himself described himself this way: the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And this is Isaiah the prophet speaking a long time before, probably 700 years before John the Baptist, verses 3 to 5 of chapter 40. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. In Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5, then we read, and this forms the last few verses at the end of the arrangement of the books that we have in our Bibles. So when you get to Malachi chapter 4, at the end of chapter 4 is the end of the Old Testament as we understand it. Now, Michael would say that the Jews had a different chronology and a different arrangement of books, but the anticipation is the same. So we see in Malachi chapter 4, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. So this is John the Baptist's ministry is a fulfillment of these two prophecies, as well as the prophecy that was made of him about from the mouth of the angel. And then when we read in Matthew chapter 3 and his confrontation with the religious leaders of his day, he holds nothing back. Verses 7 through to 12, we read about his confrontation. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he had been gone out into the wilderness and he was calling the people to repent. He was telling them to repent and trust in God and return to the true following after the law of God. And as a sign of that, he was baptizing people. And so many of the religious leaders, who are the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Pharisees had this idea that they had added all these rules to the law, in order so that they, as they saw it, would protect themselves from breaking the law, when in fact all they had done was completely mitigate against the law, because they had reduced the law and diluted it by these laws that they had said. They had made it a totally external experience, and they were following after these external laws, and therefore they were not following the spirit of the law, which is what Jesus rebuked them for later on. The Sadducees, on the other hand, were very worldly. They had political ambitions. They were very much seeking to be modern in terms of their day and age. They were embracing Greek culture and Hellenistic ideas, and therefore they had denied certain aspects of the Word of God, including the resurrection, and they only followed certain laws and read certain books that suited them. And John the Baptist doesn't hold back. He says, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones." And so we see that John the Baptist understood the people he was talking to. And he says, basically, don't be complacent. Just because you think that you're children of Abraham doesn't mean that you're right with God. And he pronounces judgment in this way. And he says, "And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than me, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing hand is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But he will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. And that's so important to understand. John the Baptist, although a great prophet of the Lord, although even as Jesus himself said that John the Baptist was the greatest among men, but still, even those who are least in the kingdom are greater than he is. His job was to show and forth and tell about the coming of judgment into the world through the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that God had sent his Son into the world to redeem a people unto himself through his death, by living a life that we could never live and dying the death that we deserve to die on the cross of Calvary. That the Lord Jesus Christ was indeed, as John the Baptist described him, as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But this is the most important thing to understand. He is not just the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world in some esoteric, non-personal, impersonal way. He is sent into the world to redeem a people. And each and every person who puts their trust in him as their personal Lord and Savior, for them, he becomes the Lamb of God who takes away their sin. Their sin has been dealt with at the cross of Calvary, and it is only by putting our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross of Calvary that can bring us into relationship with God. And so John fulfilled his task of bringing the gospel to the people of his day, and we continue to do that by proclaiming the message of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, not as he did in his first advent as a baby in a manger, but as the conquering King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Well, our time is now over for tonight. We do hope that you enjoyed the program. I just want to remind you that next Monday, we will have an airing of the carol service from Dundalk Baptist Church that took place yesterday. And we will be back in about, 3 or 4 weeks, I guess, because we end up just on all of the holidays. So it just remains for me to say thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, and happy Christmas to you all.
And we're going to end tonight with a song by Josh Groban called Angels We Have Heard on High.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains, Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria in excelsis Deo. Adore on bended knee, Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria, let us sing in its chalices day.
The Matter is brought to you by Dundalk Christian Counselling Centre. This free counselling service is situated at Dundalk Baptist Centre on RTE Terrace. You can contact us in complete confidence on 932 7094, or email us at christiancounselling@aircom.net. You can also visit our website at dundalkbaptistchurch.org/counselling.